Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Fellowship in House on the Rock, the combination of excellence, presence, and power in this place is still a phenomenon ordered by grace we are yet to fully understand and articulate. I'm sure we will get that mantle. We will interact with that mantle shortly. Praise God. Can we please honor our Father in the house this morning? God's servant, Pastor Uche Aigbe, and his wife. Thank you so much, sir, for having me. I'm sincerely honored. Thank you so much. And of course, the entire leadership of House on the Rock, Abuja, thank you so much for the great work you are doing. God bless you richly. Can you lift your hands to heaven one more time and just honor the Lord? Tell him your heart is open to receive. The things of the Spirit, they are deeper than time. And so we don't interact with them because we are knowledgeable. We interact with them because they are revealed. So can we ask the Lord this morning to open our understanding to receive the revealed word of God, and that our spirit will interact with these realities until they become our very essence. Can we talk to the Lord this morning? Spirits respond to our words. Spirits respond to words. Can we just talk to the Lord this morning? Our time is very short. Just 30 minutes of interacting with God's word. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We bless you for the honor and the privilege of fellowshipping with your immortal spirit. Lord, we ask that you open our understanding, our eyes of understanding, to see and to receive of the things of the spirit, and also grant us the grace to apply them even as we make changes and advancement in life. Let your name be glorified again in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you so much. Because of our limited time this morning, I will just delve into the word, and I'll be trying so hard not to preach, but to explain. We have 30 minutes, which is already counting down, and so we'll just say a few things, and I believe it will be highly exegetical. I'll just speak scriptures and explain scriptures, and we'll be out of here. When I come back within the week, then we will have the opportunity to assent. Because services actually begin in the spirit. We come into the earth realm from the spirit realm. We begin from the end and we come back to the beginning. We don't journey into the end. We start from the end and come to the beginning. Because our reality begins from God. We live from God into time. We don't live from time into God. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet. And so some of the things I'll be saying, our brain may not receive it, but our spirit will be aware of it and it will bear witness with it in the name of Jesus. And so this morning, very quickly, I want to articulate and advance the benefits of prayer. And so I'll break it into two. I'll share three with us this morning for the first service, and then I'll take three more for the second service. When I was praying to the Lord and contemplating in the spirit on what to share this morning, the Lord began to ask me questions. And one of the ways God helps me to understand deeper things of the Spirit is to ask me questions. Because when the Spirit begins to ask you questions, He humbles you. all the answers you give from your brain, you will discover how limited they are. Because you are talking to a being that is knowledge himself. You know about knowledge. The spirit you are talking to is called knowledge. The Bible said our God is a God of knowledge. He said by him actions are weighed. And so when a spirit asks you a question, don't be in a hurry to answer. Ask him to help your understanding. Praise God. And so when the Lord began to ask me and trouble me with questions, I asked him to speak to me because I will fail 1,000 times without his help. And one of the things God told me was very simple. He said, what would man do if all his needs are met? And then the second thing he said is, if all your needs are met, what will you call a blessing? And the moment he asked that question, I now realized, if all our pursuits are mundane, then we have not touched the essence of life and existence. The reason we pursue mundane things is because we are falling. Because when God created the first man, he gave him everything he would have needed naturally. And so if life were about gaining natural things or gaining natural advantages, then existence itself would have been a failure from Eden. Because man was created with every natural benefit. And so the things God is inviting us into, they are deeper than the natural realm. In fact, our apprehension of those things gives us advantage in the natural realm. And so our pursuit is not natural. Our pursuit is eternal. But when we lay hold on eternal things, we will dominate the natural realm. Praise God. And so the benefits of prayer I'll be advancing this morning will first of all begin with things that have eternal and immortal advantages. The moment you are able to apprehend, articulate, and handle these things, you will discover the natural things we pursue are supposed to be byproducts. The Bible said to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said all other things, and he meant all when he said all. He said all other things shall be added unto you. If your seeking becomes the all other things, then you have lost what really matters. Because compared immortal things to natural things is one is to all. One immortal thing is equivalent to all other things. And so if you pursue all other things, no matter the magnitude you possess, is nothing. That's why I said a man's advantage, a man's essence, is not in the multitude of the things he possesses. And so this morning, I want to share with us quickly 3 immortal advantages of prayer that gives you an advantage even beyond time. And I said beyond time because it will apply to time. But over and above time, it will still be relevant. Praise God. And so the first benefit of prayer this morning I will talk about is intimacy with God. You know, the theme for my teaching this morning is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And if you ask yourself, how do I pray without ceasing? It means prayer is not request-based. It's intimacy-based. If you pray for request, when your request is over, your prayer will stop. But if the Bible is telling you to pray without ceasing, it means prayer has a depth beyond the things you are asking for. That means prayer begins when you actually stop asking. When you stop asking for things, then you start journeying with God. And so the first benefit of prayer is the fact that God invites us into fellowship with him. And if you have read the scriptures for yourself, you would understand one of the greatest advantages in the spirit is the opportunity or the privilege of standing in God's presence or interacting with God. When Gabriel came to speak with Zacharias, he didn't introduce himself as an archangel, because in heaven, your title is not as important as your intimacy. When he introduced himself to God, he said, I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence. It goes to refer to mean that in the realm where things really matter, your proximity with God is your greatest advantage. And so when God is inviting us to prayer, it's a blessing that we may not understand if we are dealing with God with our brain. You know, if you were to meet the president today, it will affect everything about you. Your dressing, your excitement level, everything will change. Because you know when you come to the president, you are dealing with the one who has the handle of changing things in the nation. And so your relationship with him is superior to a car. Your relationship with him is superior to a house. In fact, if you get close to him enough, there are positions you can attain that will make a car and a house the byproduct. In fact, you become so relevant that you can give out cars. Now, when you are talking about a spirit that is eternal, when he invites you to him, what then does that give to you?
Now, people don't understand this. This is why they struggle with prayer. If we understand that prayer is not just another channel of shopping from the realm of God, but an invitation into intimacy, we'll begin to see the blessedness of prayer. And the first thing prayer affords us is the opportunity to know God and to walk with Him. That knowledge of God and that right standing with God that is bestowed upon you gives you so many things that I will not have the opportunity to mention now. But one of it is authority. Because only the man who stands in God's presence has the right to wield God's authority. In our country today, there is what we call the cabal system. And you know, the cabals don't need to tell you who they are. But because they are with the president, they can affect the country in any direction they want. That kind of authority, it is not necessarily named, but it is the ability to make things happen. And so when you find people walking on the earth who make things happen, find out where they are standing. They have a relationship with the Spirit. And so prayer is the first foundation of relationship with God. And that foundational relationship confers upon you authority. When authority begins to find expression in your life, your needs vanish. Because you don't need to ask for them anymore. You now make them happen. When a man is asking God for things, it's because he has not entered authority. When a man enters authority, he stops asking God for things. He begins to make things happen. Because we're not called to ask for things. We were actually called to manifest God. But for you to manifest God, you have to stay close enough for God to rub off on you. You know, when Jesus sent us into the world, He didn't say go into the world and ask God to do things. No. He said go to the world and change it. But for you to go into the world, you have to be with Him first. And so when we talk about intimacy, we are actually talking about the secrets of dominion. And this is what the patriarchs know. And so when the patriarchs are talking, they don't talk the things that are common. When David is talking to you, for example, he won't talk to you about the things you can possess. He will talk to you about where you are standing. And so in Psalm 65 from verse 4, here's what the Bible said. It said, blessed is the man whom God causes to approach Him. Because the man who approaches God begins to wield every authority that God has in his possession. He said, blessed is the man whom God causes, whom God chooses, and whom God causes to approach Him, whose delight is in tarrying in the courts of God. Because that man becomes an agent of authority. The things others are pursuing after, they are the things He just commands and they happen. If you go to Psalm 80 verse 18 again, He now began to make a statement. He said, quicken us, O Lord, that we may call upon You. So in case we are not hearing Your beckoning, why don't You energize us to call upon You? Because our greatest ambition is to stand with You. Our greatest ambition is to walk with You. Because we know when we possess You, every other thing becomes a byproduct. And so He identified first that it's a blessing to approach God. And then He also went further to say, somewhere, somehow, we don't have the tendencies of choosing You. There are so many other things that distract us. We want to watch the World Cup finals, and we prepare for it for 1 week. We are excited about it. But when it has to do with the courts of heaven, somewhere, somehow, even though we know that the oracles of God dwell there, our appetites and our proclivities and tendencies are not designed to come there. So, since we are not wise enough to desire You, quicken us, O Lord, that we may call upon Your name. The reason is simple. When we come to where You are, everything will meet us there. But when we chase things, we become frustrated and we become stranded because we will never get them. And so the place where all things converge is in the presence of God. And so the psalmist knows walking with God becomes the greatest asset in life. And what God gave to us as a free ticket is the right to come there. And so when we are talking about prayer, we are not talking about asking God and receiving something from God. We are actually talking about the liberty to walk with God. Whoever calls upon Him, He says He will answer. If you can call, God will be there for you. But the reason many are not calling is because they've not seen the blessedness of the presence of God. When the psalmist was speaking, he said, a day in the courts of God is better than 1,000 years elsewhere. What does he know? What did he encounter? And what has happened to him? That on the strength of time and chronology, he will refer to one day in God's presence as greater than 1,000 years elsewhere. Is it possible that your existence without a relationship with God is already a waste? Because how many people will live for 1,000 years? If somebody who knows God's presence is saying a day in God's presence is greater than 1,000 years, and you have lived for 80 years, you say you are old. And somebody else who has entered reality is telling you that there is a realm where a moment is superior to a lifetime. That realm is in God's presence. And in prayer, you have the ticket of living in that realm. And so when Paul came, he said, don't pray for 3 hours. Don't pray in the morning. Don't pray in the evening. He said, pray without ceasing. Dwell there. That means if you dwell there, 10 days of your life will be equivalent to what? 10,000 years. 1 year of your life will be equivalent to 360,000 years. So if you are now alive for 30 years, how old are you in real sense? So when they ask you for your date of birth, you will look at them and smile. You say, you won't believe when I tell you. Do you see why certain men become ancient when they talk? You know they are digging something from a realm that is deeper than time. Because according to the divine equation, a day in God's presence is greater than 1,000 years. And you have lived in God's presence for 30 years. So how old are you? So when men now weigh you and they are saying, how can this boy be 22 years and he's making impact? You tell them, I am not 22. You are judging from the wrong plane. Where I go to, 1 day is 1,000 years. That is why I can be 19 and I'll be affecting the globe. Because I go to places where spirits that are older than time dwell. They were there when time was created. They were the ones who fabricated the time. Is God the benefit of prayer? So when you come to see the walls you articulate together, people hear them and they say, where did you get it from? I came from where walls were created. I'm not talking what I read in a book. I came from, there are scrolls somewhere where time doesn't exist. And if you want to become old, come with me. You will age in the natural realm, but in the spirit you become ancient. And so the greatest benefit of prayer is intimacy. When you become intimate with God, you go to where reality begins from. And so your life becomes a wonder to your generation. The reason many are not praying is because they are interacting with other things. Thank God for the books you read about Albert Einstein. They are beautiful. That is called fellowship with Albert Einstein. Thank God for the books you read from the wise men of the world. They are beneficial. But there are certain things that are deeper than men can articulate. When you come to where men interact with God, you see things that sometimes only you can know them. Because there is a specificity about ordination. And so there is something God will whisper. 5 of us will hear, but we will hear different things. And so when we come out, one may become a billionaire. Because what he heard empowered him to make wealth. Another will hear something and he will become a miracle worker. All of us thought we heard the same thing. But because we are coming to where knowledge dwells, when he says one thing, he can mean 1,000 things. And so the true advantage of the believer is his ability through prayer to walk with God. And so when we start engaging the altar of prayer, our goal is not the lingo. Our goal is not the time. Our goal is the depth. Where have I journeyed to in God? Paul said, I know a man many years ago, whether he was in the flesh or in the spirit, I can't tell. He said, but that man was carried to the third heaven. And when Paul came back, he said he went even to Hades, and the things he heard were unlawful to be uttered among men. So how can a man know something that men are not permitted to know? Who is he? It is called the mysteries of intimacy. And when you enter that depth with God, you become a joy of many generations. The things you say, generations after you, we utter them, they will never be satisfied. The reason is because you have walked with the spirit that is ancient. So the first benefit of prayer is the fact that prayer opens the doorway to intimacy. A man who doesn't know prayer will not have intimacy with God. And if he doesn't have intimacy with God, the true advantages that are made for his destiny, he will never realize them. He will think he's making progress until they show him his reality from Zion. Somebody may be making 1 million a month, 10 million a month, 20 million a month, and he said, I am doing well. And then they look at you from Zion, they say, you've never come here. How come? How come we've never seen you? If we don't see you, and you don't come here, how can you now attach purpose to the money you have? The money you have will now become the basis of your condemnation. Because when you go to where they whisper to the souls of men, they will tell you it is not about the money, it's about the purpose of that money. And you can never have an understanding of that purpose with your brain. It will be shown to you. And so the first true benefit of prayer is that in prayer, men are invited to walk with God. This is why the patriarchs of old exalted prayer, because they knew that outside of God, they were nothing. And because they now know God forever and ever, their names will never be forgotten. Do you think you call your child David because you love the name David? No. You don't love David. That name has no meaning to you. It is because of who bore it and who he became in God. And so when you call your son David, you are actually reminiscing on the immortality of a man who has walked with the Spirit. So men become eternally relevant because they walk with the Spirit. This is a man who wandered around with women, but suddenly he saw a spirit and he started walking with that spirit. And forever and ever, generations to come will be honored to name themselves after his order, because he has seen something that is eternal. Abraham was in the hall of the Chaldees until he encountered that spirit. And when he met that spirit, forever and ever, you and I became the children of Abraham. The question is, when you leave, what will you be remembered for? There's no house you build that will last for more than 60 years. The world is moving too fast for your house to be relevant for 60 years. There's no car you buy that will be relevant for more than 10 years. There's no money you have in any account that can exist beyond two generations. And so the question is, when you leave, what will you find about you? The only thing that can live with about you forever are the immortal things you pick from the presence of God. Because everybody who goes there carries something. Some goes there, they carry favor. Some go there, they carry wisdom. Some go there, they carry power. And so the things they establish because they went to the immortal realms, they become immortal forever on the face of the earth. And so a man who has not journeyed in intimacy with God, he is already forgotten. He's just using money to sustain his influence. Some people are struggling so hard to be relevant while they are yet alive. Some men have died and they cannot be forgotten because of where they went to and the things they taught. Did you not read about Elijah? Elijah had to be invited to the earth 4 times. God said, no, you have known the glory too much for us to let you go. So you will not die. We will preserve you for another generation. And even after he died, they said the spirit of Elijah came back. And after the spirit of Elijah came back, the two witnesses will still come back. A man becomes immortal like God because he has walked too close with God for a world to forget him. Intimacy is what provides for you the benefit of immortality. No matter the money you have, no matter the position you occupy, you will be forgotten unless you touch something that comes from the spirit that is eternal. And so the first benefit of prayer is intimacy. Men of old were wise. They gave their all to prayer. Daniel was in Babylon. The king said nobody should pray to any other god. He was willing to risk his position and to risk his freedom for prayer. Because outside of intimacy, he has no freedom in the first place. And in Daniel 6:10, the Bible said 3 times. So if you are praying 3 times when they gave a law that nobody should pray, how many times do you pray when there's no law? And he said 3 times the guy prayed facing Jerusalem. He was not afraid to be arrested. And when they arrested him, he didn't apologize. I'd rather be nothing outside of prayer. I'd rather be nothing with prayer than to be everything outside of prayer. Because with prayer, I have God. Outside of prayer, I have nothing. These men knew these things and they were willing to give their lives for it. And so the first benefit of prayer is a walk with God. And the reason is simple. Your walk with God makes you immortal. Every other thing you touch will ebb away with time. But the things you pick from the realm of God, they will outlive you. The second benefit of prayer is transformation. The Bible says we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, we are changed. We are changed. There is something on your inside that yourself don't know about yourself. The greatest deception a man suffers is when he thinks he knows himself. The Bible said he has put eternity in our hearts. As we are sitting here now, we are all carriers of eternity. And you now look at yourself in a mirror and you look at a paper you got from Harvard and you say, this is who I am. You don't know who you are. There are things on your inside that you will never know. Some persons will discover who they really are when they get to eternity. And that's when God will show them that half of Africa should have been blessed by you. But you never came up here. You were celebrating the certificate you got from Oxford. And that certificate locked you to a bank. And you were in that bank for 40 years. If only you connected to something deeper than the jurisdiction the certificate card for you, you would have seen a dimension of you that is as massive as eternity. And so when we begin to pray, something happens. Thank God for physics and chemistry. I studied chemistry for more than 14 years. But beyond chemistry, there is a light that comes from Zion. When you look at that light, you see yourself in God. And so your God dimension is activated. Transformation is not just about change. Transformation is actually becoming like the God dimension that you represent. This is why when they sang that song from Isaiah 40 verse 28, he blessed my spirit. He said, have you not heard? Has it not been said to you that the everlasting God fainted not, neither is he weary? He said, he giveth power to the faint, and unto them that have no might, he increases strength. He said, even the youth shall faint. Because among men, the strongest of us are youth. The glory of the youth is his strength. And so he said, even the best among men, he said, they will fail. Because there's something you can never deny, is age. A time comes where your youthful zeal, your youthful brilliance, your youthful splendor begins to fade away. You will look at it, you will try to hold it, you can't stop it. Those of you who love the mirror so much, enjoy it while it lasts. Because 20 years from now, when you go to the mirror will humble you. You will need to leave, you will look for another mirror. There's a mirror called the perfect law of liberty. That's the one you need to look at. You come to the mirror, you bump eyelashes, you put, wait, welcome. The mirror will soon become a nightmare. But there is something you behold and you are changed. We all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass. When we begin to pray, we want to behold. Because we have seen what men call us, but it's not enough. When we contemplate the words of our ordination, we know what men are calling us cannot bet that ordination. God is telling you, you will take Africa. The name men gave you is not sufficient to bet that kind of ordination. And so beyond what men say, you have to go to Zion and look upon him. And so when a man starts praying, what he's trying to do is to see his reality from the God perspective. Because until you see yourself from the God realm, you have not known yourself. And so transformation begins when you begin to see yourself from reality. That's when fear will vanish. That's when timidity will vanish. That's when insufficiencies will vanish. You will become so advanced that your life will become a wonder. And so the second benefit of prayer is this. Only on the corridor of beholding can transformation take place. And you can behold him either through the word or through the gateways of prayer. When a man begins to pray, his goal is to see him. Because when you see him, you are changed. The Bible said Moses was in Egypt, a coward, afraid of fulfilling destiny in Egypt. Until a point came, he said, he saw him that was invincible. The man who ran from Pharaoh returned as a deliverer. I don't know where you are. Whether they gave you positive value, so long as it's earthly, it's not sufficient to define you. And even if they gave you a negative value, no matter who said it, it's still not sufficient to define you. There's only one man that has the final say concerning you. He's the monarch of Zion. And in prayer, you ascend the mountains of God to behold him. When you start praying, three things will happen to you that defines transformation. The first is mortification. The propensities of the flesh are suspended. And so you find out that the weaknesses that you cannot overcome by your brain suddenly begins to die. The things you wept about and you couldn't do anything about, suddenly they begin to lose their power. Because when you start praying, you start journeying into realms that are yonder. And the first thing they will do is to suspend the propensities of your flesh. And then when flesh is suspended, then renewal of mind begins. It is in that corridor of prayer that you will see the light that is light indeed. That's when the immortals will tell you, oh, fear not, go in this thy might. A man who ran to hide from the enemy was actually the terror of the enemy. How could Gideon know that he didn't need 10,000 men to defeat an army? Only where light dwells can such vital information be given. And so the man who was hiding away, he came to him and said, oh, thou mighty man of valor. And he looked at himself, what is mighty about me? Do I not look like a man of valor? He said, no, you are seeing your earthly dimension. I'm saluting you based on your heavenly dimension. And the moment the guy came into transformation, he went out as a warrior. God told him, go to the camp of the enemy. Hear what they are saying about you. The enemy you are running for is actually afraid of you. You will need renewal of mind to know. You are running from Nigeria to Europe. A lizard in Nigeria cannot become a crocodile in Europe. You don't need to run. Where the challenge is, that's where the glory dwells. Because the brightness of light is manifested in the darkest of the night. So we don't fear challenges. There is something we have seen. There is something we have heard. And because we know it, we know that nothing can break us. Nothing can break us. The worst can happen. We will still be here shining. How do you shine in light? You only shine in darkness. And so darkness is not your end. Darkness is your platform. But it will take renewal of mind. Renewal. And so you tell yourself, I was created like God. How did God function? The Bible said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And so when you go to your job and there is darkness and there's confusion, you too will say, let there be light. You will no longer respond like a man. You will respond like a God. Because when you were reading, he said, as he is, so are you. Not in heaven, in this world. And if he walked into darkness and said, let there be light, you will ask the devil, where is the darkness? I'm no longer afraid because I bring the light. That's when you will know that your words are not for communication alone. Your words are for creation. Your words are for change. How do you know these things? Except as a spirit begins to renew your mind. Even your father, biological father, put fear in you. The news media put fear in you. Your mother, because of her love, put fear in you. You want to go out, my son, be careful. Suddenly, fear is programmed into you. Out of love, you were limited. You will have to meet a spirit. And that's what prayer does. When a man begins to pray, he sees things that men can alter. And so those things change him. Those things transform him. Those things alter his mind. And when you begin as first, they will call you a madman until the manifestations begin to come. Until the results begin to come. Then the people who condemn you will start repenting. And in your lifetime, those who wrote you off, they will apologize. Because as transformation comes, the version of you that only God knows will manifest. Transformation from mortification to renewal and then to glorification. In glorification, you outwardly manifest God. Everything about you becomes a reflection of God. And so when we pray, we are activating a technology called transformation. Because what prayer does for you is to help you behold Him. Prayer is not a religious exercise. Prayer is a strategy of the Spirit that makes you behold the Spirit. Prayer is a mechanism of the Spirit that alters your human version into your divine version. Prayer is a way God changes a man into the best version of himself. And so that tonguing is never a waste. It's a system. It's a system in the Spirit. It's a God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power that is at work on your inside. Somebody is about to be here to go change the world. You came in down. You came in afraid. You came in frustrated. You came in fear. But as you go back, you go back with a new consciousness. Because you know, if men will pray, God will answer. Because when we pray, we don't just get answer. We become like Him. If prayer were all about answers, He wouldn't have told us to pray without ceasing. Because there are many things you don't need God to answer. If your problem is 100,000, there are more than 50 people here who can give you 100,000 without blinking an eye. If your problem is a job, there are more than 20 people here who can give you a job. If prayer were all about answers, then He won't tell us to pray without ceasing. But what prayer does is not just to give you the answer, it's to make you the answer. Because when you pray, you become like Him. There's a need for transformation in the church because many are not praying. We come to church, but we still look like the world. That point has to come where you must appear for yourself and see Him as He is. That's when your elements, your propensities in the Spirit are activated. And this morning, God is inviting men to the altar again. To the altar. That's where your glory lies. There's something about you that even you don't know. You thought you knew yourself. But if you went to Zion this way, it will shock you that you don't know 10% of yourself. There's something about you that God wants to reveal to you. Thank God for the things you've seen. It's nothing compared. Do you know what it means for a God to go to the studio to create a machine? You know what it means? And you think that machine can be called a failure? You don't know yourself. You don't know yourself. If men can create things and we call them smartphones, if men can create robots that are near perfection, is it the one God designed that will be a failure? No, you are not a failure. You have just not prayed. When you pray, you will know that the greatest invention on earth is the machine called man. There are dimensions of you that have not been activated. And so this morning, there's an invitation. You may be young, you may be old. It has nothing to do with age. You may be male, you may be female. It has nothing to do with gender. You may be white, you may be black. It has nothing to do with race. Because this is a spiritual reality. And just in case you want to ask that Jesus becomes your friend, that Jesus becomes your Lord, because you want to start a new journey this morning, you have tried many things. You know what it means to connect to men. You know what it means to buy favor. And you have even done things that are despicable. But today you ask, if these things are true, I want to see them in my life. Until I become a witness, I won't believe it. There's an opportunity for you. And you want to publicly declare that Jesus, this thing this man is saying, if you do it, I want to know you and pray into your realm. Place your hand on your chest. Let me pray with you now. I didn't have time, so it's a burden. It's a burden to go into my lecture. But there is a place for everyone. The Bible speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 47 to 49. He said the first Adam is of the earth, and so he's earthy. He said, but the second Adam, he said, is of heaven. He's the Lord from heaven. And he said, as we have borne the image of the first Adam, he says, so also let us bear the image of the last Adam. God is not just here to answer men. God is here to make men. He said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. But one of the ways God makes men is through intimacy with him, which is orchestrated by prayer, and through transformation, which is activated by first of all coming to him and then beholding him. You want to approach Jesus this morning? Can you place your hand on your chest? And let's pray. If there's somebody placing his hand or a hand on the chest, can you just wave so I'll be sure that we have someone doing that this morning? Glory to God. Glory to God. He said, when one soul is saved, heavens rejoice. Can the ushers just give them the cards because of our time? Right where you are, can you just stand? It's a public declaration. You're about to take a new journey, a new pathway. A new order has been carved for you. Our time is grossly limited, but it doesn't take God eternity to do an eternity. Even in a moment, the Bible says we can be changed. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe with all my heart that you are the Son of God. This morning, I confess with my mouth that you died for my sins. You rose from the dead on the third day. And right now you are seated with the Father in heaven, enthroned King eternal. I therefore decree that you are the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Father, grant me help to live for you only, and let the weight of sin be broken forever. In Jesus' name. You have said that prayer this morning. I pray for you quickly. The hand of God is upon you. The grace of God is mighty on your life from this day. The Lord will shine upon you his countenance. And by his spirit, he will take you to your eternal destination. Even that which was written concerning you before the foundations of the world. I decree that the hand of the devil and his oppression breaks off your life forever. And from this day, you live only to give glory to God. So let it be written, and so let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. The ushers will give you further instructions. Thank you so much for having me this morning. Can you give the Lord a big hand?
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.